Welcome to the Podcock PeeCast. I'm your host, the only Tyler Peacock. Playoff Peacock is here again flying solo on this episode. The playoffs push on. We'll talk the National Basketball Association Conference semifinals, the National Hockey League. I'm calling it the Skate 8. They're down to their conference semifinals. We'll talk about all of those series. Also, what an incredible weekend in the racing world. We'll talk about that in segment three, the Kentucky Derby, the F1 Miami Grand Prix, NASCAR at Kansas, and then I got a couple nuggets or sleepers to give you out for Darlington this weekend, where NASCAR will go. And I got a parlay, NHL, NBA crossover, future parlay I'm going to give you as a best bet at the end of this puppy. So without any further ado, let's seamlessly roll in to the National Basketball Association playoffs. We're down to eight. The Eastern Conference semifinals, the Pacers and the Knicks will go at it, and the Cavaliers will take on the number one seed Boston Celtics. So let's start with the series that's already tipped off. New York Knicks and the Indiana Pacers, 1-0 series lead right now for the Knicks. The current series price, the Knicks a minus 420 favorite. On the take back, the underdog, the Pacers now plus 310 in that series. I think this will be a fun series. I mean, it's 90s nostalgia out the wazoo. You think about all those Reggie Miller Pacers teams going up against Patrick Ewing, John Starks, those Knicks teams, the 90s. I mean, these two cities hate each other. And it's kind of nice to see new blood in the playoffs and fighting for a trip for the Eastern Conference Finals. So I'm revved up for this series here. Pacers, they dispatched the Bucks. I mean, Lillard was hobbled throughout that series. So was Middleton. Giannis didn't play a single second of that series. But give credit to Indiana. I thought the Bucks, if they got Giannis back, would win that series. And Indiana got rid of him. And here they are in the Eastern Conference semifinals. On the flip side, Knicks 76ers in the first round. Awesome. Awesome series. I mean, both buildings were electric. It went six games. Very tight series. Maxey and Embiid for the Sixers. A hobbled Embiid, but still was really damn good. And Jalen Brunson, he's out of his mind right now. But you got to love the way this Knicks team's playing. As I look into the series, watch game one last night. The Knicks, like, the Pacers was able to get the Knicks to play kind of their pace. The Pacers want to get up and down, shoot a ton of threes, and just try to use their offense as their lethal weapon. Knicks, on the other hand, kind of a grind mentality, a gritty team. They defend, they rebound. I love this team. I love the way this Knicks team's playing. The Garden's electric. This is going to be an extended series. I think the Knicks, you got the better defense. You got the tougher team, in my opinion. A team that's going to clean the glass a little better. I think the Knicks prevail in this series, but I think it goes six. Could go seven. This is going to be an extended series. Really, really fun one. All right, the other Eastern Conference semifinal, Cleveland and Boston. Cleveland, seven-game series winner over the Magic. Fun series there. First four games were blowouts. Games five, six, and seven were really competitive. But that's the end of the line for Cleveland. I mean, maybe Donovan Mitchell goes nuclear and gives Cleveland a game. I know Porzingis is going to be out probably for this series for Boston. I don't think it matters. I think they dispatch Cleveland pretty easily. The series price, I mean, Vegas is telling you this is not going to be close. Boston minus 3,500 to win the series. Cleveland plus 1,200 on the take back as the underdog in the series. Like I said, I think it could go five, but I'm going to say the Celtics sweep the Cavs out of the playoffs here in the conference semifinal. I mean, Cleveland, I don't know. You kind of like some of their pieces, like the backcourt of Mitchell and Garland. They're fun. The two bigs, Jared Allen and Evan Mobley, they can do some things, but Boston's just a better team. And I think Boston realizes, hey, Pacers-Knicks is probably going to go the distance or close to the distance. The West could be a damn war. What those four teams, we'll get to here in a little bit. We got to get our work done quickly. Let's not have the flub up like we did in game two against Miami and get rid of these guys and get rest. And that's paramount this time of year. So I got Knicks Celtics meeting in the Eastern Conference Finals. All right, let's go to the West. Well, well, well. The Minnesota Timberwolves are up 2-0 right now in that series after Monday night's blowout. Really, both games were kind of a blowout. You know, the Nuggets came back, and that was a close game in game one. But in Denver, most of the minutes have been dominated by this Minnesota Timberwolves team. They're minus 700 to win the series right now. Plus 470 are the Nuggets on the take back as the dog for the rest of the series, live series price. To me, Jamal Murray, you look at his injury, he doesn't look the same. Jokic, Aaron Gordon, Michael Porter Jr., these guys, the defending champs, they're having to work so damn hard against this T-Wolves team to generate any offense, really. And all the 50-50 balls, the rebounds, the hustle plays, steals, blocks, the most, you know, or the more athletic team, I should say here, clearly is Minnesota. Do I think Denver could get back in the series? I guess I have to pay respects to the defending champions. But if I would have recorded this podcast prior to the series starting, I thought Minnesota could win a game or two in this series. I like Anthony Edwards. I mean, he's a superstar already, but he keeps ascending. Love the minutes Naz Reid is giving this team. McDaniels, Alexander Walker. You got a steady veteran point guard leading this team with Mike Conley. Biggs, I already mentioned Reed, but Cat, Carl Anthony Towns, and Rudy Gobert. They got guys that can bother both the perimeter with their length and Jokic and Gordon on the interior for this Nuggets team. And they're guarding the shit out of people, man. This Timberwolves team, they're a game, man. They're fucking playing defense. Now I think Minnesota's going to win the series. I'll give Denver some credit. I think they could push this to six, but I think Minnesota can close it out in their home building at the Target Center, if they even call it that still. I think they do. But anyway, it's just jarring. I mean, you expect the defending champs to fight back, but, I mean, Jokic, he don't look, you know, outstanding right now through two games of the series. Murray is hobbled, and, man, this Timberwolves team, they got that look, man. And they kind of remind me, I mean, they're a little better roster, or probably a lot better roster, but this is kind of a 2007 Cavaliers run, where Ant, he's 22 years old, and you think this team has no business kind of making a run to the NBA championship or the finals anyway, and maybe they're a year ahead of schedule or a couple of years ahead of schedule. But, man, another team, much like the Knicks, like you can just tell they're young and hungry, and they're willing to do the dirty things in order to win basketball games. Not really giving a crap who gets the credit at the end of the day, just out there doing it for themselves, doing it for their coach who took a knee injury in the closeout game against Phoenix in that sweep. And I think the Lakers, I mean, I think LeBron and Anthony Davis, I mean, obviously they're great players, they're going to get theirs, but I think they kind of exposed a little bit in that series. You got to get Jokic playing some defense, or trying to. I mean, that's clearly the weakness of his game. And I think Minnesota's kind of took some of those game playing points and implemented them to their strategy. And, yeah, and the ball pressure. I mean, Jokic brings the ball up the floor often. Minnesota's like, fuck that. We're not letting him just get, you know, into his rhythm, walk it up at his own pace. Naz Reid and these other cats, man, they're just getting into his waistband. They're like, no, you're going to have to work to get the ball at the floor. And then you're going to have to work on offense to get a good shot. Our length's going to bother you. It's crazy. So Minnesota, I think, it's weird. It's crazy. I didn't think we'd be here. Hell, I thought Phoenix would beat them. And I said that a couple weeks ago on our last show. in the West especially, it kind of seemed like it was either going to be the Young Bucks or the Old Guard, because all the first round matchup seems like, you had some young teams, Minnesota and Oklahoma City being the top two seeds or two of the top three seeds in the West, going up against veteran teams. And we've seen Phoenix get swept in the Lakers, losing five. So, and then we've seen OKC sweep their way through the first round against the Pelicans. So, yeah, crazy. So, let's go to that last series, though, in the West. I'm excited for this one. I think Dallas is a live dog here in this series. Dallas right now before game one starts plus 106, Thunder minus 130 favorites for the series. I like this Oklahoma City team. They spread the floor really well. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, MVP candidate. Chet Holmgren's balling. Jalen Williams is a star in this league already. I like this team, and the pieces seem to fit. I worry about the interior punch. Now, Dallas, I don't know. They're not a team that's just going to post up a big guy and pound the interior. But Luka likes to get in the lane. Kyrie likes to get in the lane. That's their two big guns, obviously, for the Mavs. I think that is the difference in the series. I think it's going to be a fun series. I think it goes six or seven. I'll take Dallas in six. I just think Luke, the combo of Luka and Kyrie, I think they find a way. But this should be a fun one. Dallas, by the way, another team that's kind of changed their identity late in the year, and it's continued in the playoffs. They're kind of guarding, which last time Dallas made a run, they were using kind of a matchup zone back in 2010 or 2011 when the Mavericks beat the Heat. But they were another team. Defensively, they started getting after it and getting stops and being tough to go against. And that's what Dallas is doing. Not with the matchup zone, but that's kind of what Dallas is doing again here. Very good defensively in the last part of the year and here in the playoffs. But yeah, Thunder Dallas, it's going to be a fun series. So yeah, I think Dallas Minnesota, who had that? Western Conference Finals is where I would be right now. Let's go to the National Hockey League now. We'll start in the West. Canucks plus 205 going up against the Oilers minus 255 in the series. I think this is a quick series. I mean, the Oilers power play, the most lethal thing in hockey. And it's been like that the last couple of years. Worry about Skinner and goal, but I mean, McDavid, Draisaitl, Hyman. The offensive punch, the big dogs up front for Edmonton, they're tough to deal with. And you add on top of that Vancouver, a very young team, and their goaltender banged up in the Nashville series. So now you're putting a guy you don't think is as good in goal against one of the most lethal teams left in the Stanley Cup playoffs. So I think Edmonton gets them out of there rather quick. I'll say five. I'll give Vancouver a game here. But yeah, I think Edmonton is going back to the Western Conference Finals, and that'll be great for everybody because to see Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl, those two stars as deep in the playoffs as possible is only a good thing. Now, this one is going to be a war. The other semifinal in the Western Conference, the Colorado Avalanche and the Dallas Stars. I mentioned 90s nostalgia a little bit ago with the Knicks and the Pacers while we were talking NBA. This to me is 90s nostalgia. As a Red Wings fan, you knew you had to go through Dallas at some point, St. Louis at some point, they're not in it, but Dallas at some point, and Colorado a little later. It seemed like every damn year in the playoffs with those Fedorov, Yzerman teams, Lidstrom, all those guys I grew up watching. It seemed like Dallas and Mike Modano and Joe Sakic, Peter Forsberg, Patrick Waugh, those Avalanche teams. I mean, this just gets the juices going a little bit. This is going to be a long damn series. I think it's going to go seven. Series price currently, before we play a game, Colorado minus 104, Dallas -115. It's going flip series, and it should be. Again, much like Edmonton, the Avalanche, their offense is unbelievable. It all starts with Nate McKinnon. You know, he's right there to me with McDavid as the best player in the league. Cale Makar, one of the best D-man in the NHL. Offensive D-man, I mean, he could take it coast to coast and snipe or put a move on you and make you look stupid in goal. Nichushkin, who had an unbelievable series in round one. I mean, they took Winnipeg apart in every damn game, it seemed like, the Avalanche did. I don't think they had a game in that series where they scored less than five goals. I mean, their offense is humming right now. Better than Edmonton, actually, in the first round. But Dallas, I think they're a little bit deeper defensively. They got a little more heft to them. Bigger, more physical team. And they got the better goaltender. I mean, Georgiev played pretty well after I thought, you know, you couldn't play him anymore after his performance in game one. He got a little better as the series went on for Colorado. But Jake Ottinger in the net for Dallas, one of the best goaltenders left in the playoffs. I think home ice, getting that game seven in Dallas, and the better goaltender. And I think both these teams are pretty even. I mean, the Wyatt Johnson kid for Dallas, that's another rising star in the NHL. You know, they got Pavelski, Jamie Benn, Tyler Seguin. They got a great up front, top six guys, but this Wyatt Johnson kid is incredible. And he was a name a little bit last year in the playoffs and this second year around, the second go around for him. He's playing his back off. So I'll take Dallas in seven just because better goaltender and they have a home ice, but that's a coin flip series. It's going to last a long time. And, man, I can't wait for it. All right. In the East, the Carolina Hurricanes, +110 right now. They're down 0-1 to the New York Rangers. Rangers -132 for the series. This matchup is awesome. Special teams, both teams kill penalties well. Both teams have good power plays. The Garden, I mentioned it with the Knicks. The Garden is alive and well this spring, because for these Rangers games, the building has been incredible for those guys too. The Rangers too, big physical team. I like that in the playoffs in hockey. I think they got a little more meat to them than Carolina. Carolina's well coached. Carolina, they're one of the few teams that they challenge their guys. They play pretty much man on man in the D zone. It's wild. They're the only team I've seen do that this year. I mean, there's spots that might look like it, but that's kind of what Rob Brindamore, their head coach, does. Carolina, to me, though, I know a lot of people like them. It seems like they've been in the playoffs the last 5 years every year, and they've been kind of a cup contender. But, you know, Aho is great. Svechnikov, the Gensel move, he's a playoff gamer. They got guys that you like. Seth Jarvis, another one to throw in there. I don't think they have near the top end. They need like one more guy. And I've thought that for the last few years. Again, I think this is going to be an extended series, but I think end goal, Shesterkin for the Rangers is the difference. They have home ice, obviously, as well. I think this goes six. I think the Rangers make it to the Eastern Conference Finals. I've liked the Rangers since the playoffs started, but here we are. All right, final series, game one, last night, Boston. The Bruins go into Florida, take on the Panthers, and they wax them. 5-1. Boston got all the grade-A chances. Actually surrendered the first goal. But Boston, I mean, they just went to work, man. They went to work for 60 minutes, and they kicked Florida's ass. And I know a lot of people discounted Boston coming into this series. I love Florida. I think their Stanley Cup roster, Bravosky and goal, is, again, a good goaltender. I like physicality. Florida's got it. I like a goaltender. Florida's got it. Home ice? Boston took it away last night. But going forward, you know, if there's a game seven, it's going to be in Florida. So all those things would lean me to Florida. Right now, I can't remember if I even mentioned it. Boston's minus 118. Florida's minus 102. So after game one, this is coin flippy. I'm going to take the Panthers in six. And I thought that before the series. Now I'm thinking it might go seven since Boston took game one. But I'll stick with the six. I think Florida's deeper and better. But, man, Boston showed up, and I think they're going to show up in the series. They got embarrassed last year, giving up that 3-1 series lead to these Florida Panthers in the first round. I think this is going to be a hell series. But I got Edmonton, Dallas, New York, Florida in your conference finals as of right now. All right. Let's go back to the weekend, a little bit of a recap. Kentucky Derby, photo finish, the 150th running. The three, Mystic Dan, takes the Kentucky Derby over Sierra Leone and Forever Young. Now, your boy, he might be a horse racing handicapper. I had Torpedo Anna. This is me bragging. I had Torpedo Anna Friday with the Kentucky Oaks with an outright winner. Little 4-5-1 horse cash force. I was talking to co-host here, Westside Tommy. He's a horse racing guy. Me and him, we liked a few horses together. And I kept telling him all week, I was like, man, if it rains, I feel like this fucking Mystic Dan is a mutter. I'm probably going to bet him if it rains. Well, it never rained. But he kind of encouraged me, Westside Tommy, that is, to, he's like, dude, you've been talking to this horse the whole damn week. We had numerous texts and phone calls about the Derby. So I did. I took him across the board. I took Sierra Leone across the board, and needless to say, I had an outstanding Kentucky Derby. Now, going forward with the rest of the Triple Crown, I do think Sierra Leone might be the best horse in this three-year-old group. So I would expect Sierra Leone maybe to be a favorite in the Preakness or Belmont, and I think it has a chance to win one of the next two in the Triple Crown. Also, another horse that wasn't able to run the Kentucky Derby, Muth. It's a Bob Baffert horse. He's suspended for Churchill Downs last weekend, the Derby. That was his last year of a suspension, so he'll be back. But Muth might be another one of the better or best three-year-olds. So if you're looking to bet the Preakness here, I think Sierra Leone and Muth have to be on your ticket. All right, Miami, Formula One, the Miami Grand Prix. It looked like it was going to be another ho-hum Max Verstappen Red Bull domination. McLaren, though. Shout out to McLaren. They say, hey, Lando Norris, let's make you run longer than anybody else. Get you track position. They do. He goes out in the lead. Gets a free pit stop with the safety car. They had a virtual safety car. Max is right behind him on the restart. And Lando, not in the wet, not a mechanical failure by Verstappen and Red Bull. Just out and out beat him on pace. Lando Norris gets it done. First ever Grand Prix win in his short career thus far for Lando. Good to see the papaya and McLaren and Lando on top of the podium. And yeah, a bit of an upset. 27-1, I think, in that range was Lando. Again, not the brag. I had him plus 125, the podium. And he started fifth. You know, I thought that could get done. But I never thought he could win the damn race. But awesome to see. Awesome to see. And happening stateside, even cooler. So shout out to Lando. Shout out to McLaren. Another outstanding storyline thing that happened this past weekend in the world of sports. All right, let's close out the kind of recap / racing portion of the podcast with NASCAR. NASCAR was at Kansas, and as good as the Derby was, as fun as and dramatic a little bit the upset of Lando winning in Miami was, I'm telling you, the NASCAR Cup Series took the goddamn cake this weekend. Kansas is fucking awesome. It has been for a while. But, dude, the amount of green flag passing, the erasing, the three wide, the four wide, the five wide we've seen, the slide jobs, actual passes for the lead in green flag conditions, no draft, guys having to get off throttle and use some throttle management and tire management. And then we had, you know, some fuel mileage late in the run or late in the race. It had it all. It had it all. Now, I'm biased. I'm a Kyle Larson fan. He wins the closest. Oh, by the way, it was the closest finish in NASCAR history. Him and Chris Buescher. Larson got left the lane up top in 3 and 4 coming to the checkered. So he just rips it up on the fence. Gets a little past Buescher. Buescher side drafts him, gets into it. Larson comes down. They collide again. And Larson beats him by a cat whisker. I mean, an epic finish. I mean, it was green-white finish. Kyle Busch spun out. Still rallied to get a top 10. But, you know, it looked like the 19 and the 11 were going to battle it out the last five laps. The caution did change everything. But, I mean, I feel bad for Chris Buescher, but I had Larson live 3-1 to win the damn race. So I was glad he won fandom-wise and gambling-wise, too. But, I mean, just awesome. Just awesome. I mean, Dover was a good race the week before. Kansas, the best race of the year so far. And now we go to Darlington, my favorite track on the calendar for NASCAR. Darlington's 1A and Bristol's 1B. Love Darlington. The Lady in Black going to be the throwback weekend, I believe, this weekend. So excited about that. Now, I don't have the lines yet, just the winner's market here. I'm going to try to pull it up, but I got two sneaky value plays, and I think you should play these both for top 10s, because let's not try to be a hero. Let's not try to get greedy. Oh, I do have top 10 markets. All right, so this is even better. I didn't realize this. The Goodyear 400 miles around the Lady in Black, Darlington. My two sleepers, Erik Jones. Erik Jones, 6 top 10 finishes in Darlington races in the last 10. He's got 2 wins, one with the next-gen car, I believe. Yes, one with the next-gen car, one the car before. And I think he's got 2 top fives. He's plus 175 right now. He's plus 175. I'm on bet365 looking these up. He's plus 175 the top 10. Now, my apprehension with this a little bit is I don't even know if he's gonna. I think he's gonna go this weekend. He fractured his back at Talladega a few races ago. I said he'd be out a couple weeks, so this should be his week back. But he's been awesome at Darlington. Man, with the messed up back, I don't know if he could get there. But I think you got to take a little shot on him if he's in the car. I do, because he's that damn good here at Darlington. But I'm a little nervous about him. Now, the next guy, the top 10, this is crazy. this is going to sound crazy right now. But Justin Haley's 25-1. Just the top 10. Now that could drop down if he qualifies a little better, or qualifies a little above average for him. But Justin Haley, he's only made 6 starts in Cup at Darlington. But Justin Haley, he's got 2 top 10s and 6 starts. And both have been with the new car. Now, his equipment's not the best, but, I mean, Darlington, what do you expect at Darlington? I expect, you know, a lot of long green flag runs. We're going to have tire fall off and off-throttle time this weekend. Should be a fantastic race. I'm very excited about it. So, I'm just saying, Justin Haley, if you're trying to hit big on a top 10, Justin Haley, 25-1. Erik Jones, plus 175. Right now, as for a race winner, I mean, Tyler Reddick, Ford hasn't won all year yet. I think Joey Logano could break that a little bit for Ford. Tyler Reddick in the Toyota camp, I feel like he's going to have a shot to win. Obviously, Larson, Hamlin, Byron, kind of the big three guns so far this year. They're going to be in the mix. You could put Truex up there. He's run well at Darlington historically. So it's going to be your usual suspects, I believe, going for the win here. But just wanted to give you a few value plays. All right, final bit of business here. I got a best bet. Let's go to hockey first. Go to series price. This is on FanDuel. I bet this in FanDuel already. Shop it around if you want, but FanDuel let me parlay this, so this is the best bet for the pod. Go to series prices for the National Hockey League. Take Edmonton, the Oilers, on the spread for the series. -1.5 games for the series. That's -128. You can bet that straight up, actually, if you don't mind laying a little chalk. But I'm going to parlay that leg with Pacers-Knicks over 5.5 total games for the series. That's -140. Again, you could single bet that, too, if you want to lay a little chalk. But if you put those two legs together, that's a +205 parlay. So Edmonton -1.5 games for the series, parlayed with Pacers-Knicks series over 5.5 total games, +205, and you're welcome. So, all right, that's it for the show here. Gave you a best bet. We talked some racing. We talked some puck. We talked some hoops. The playoffs will push on. I think next week's the PGA Championship, not making any promises, but might come on there and talk a little bit about that, talk some hockey and hoops and racing. But if not, definitely be back in a couple weeks as we get to the conference finals in both the National Basketball Association and the National Hockey League. But anyway, rate, review, subscribe, follow the show on Twitter. That's X at PodcockPcast. And like the Facebook page. Also, PodcockPcast, that's two words. Google the show and find it on all major and minor podcasting platforms. Give us a follow on those. Give it 5 stars or whatever the rating system is, a thumbs up. Leave a review. And yeah, it's much appreciated. So stay dry out there, folks. It's supposed to rain here in the Buckeye State just about all week. So stay dry. Have fun. Be kind. And we'll see you next time on the Podcock PCast. This has been the only Tyler Peacock saying sayonara.